Okay, you're very welcome back to the programme. Right, we are in Studio 2 now for our panel discussion. We are focusing on North Inishowen, and our guests today are Councillor Albert Doherty, Marie Duffy of Fianna Fáil, Councillor Albert Doherty, of course, of Sinn Féin, Mary Rose Doherty of Aintu, Councillor Martin Farron of Labour, Councillor Bernard McGuinness of Fine Gael, Councillor Martin McDermott of Fianna Fáil, and Tracy Cullen, Independent. Arthur McGuinness is also a candidate in this election, but was unable to be with us today. Right, so we're going to give a candidate an opportunity, really, I suppose, to ask you out there who has a vote in that area why you should vote for those over them. And we'll start clockwise, just by coincidence, where people sat. Councillor Albert Doherty of Sinn Féin, in a minute or so, why do you believe people should return you to Donegal County Council? And good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. Thank you. My name is Albert Doherty. I'm the candidate in the Carndonagh electoral area for Sinn Féin. When I ran for election in 2014, I gave the commitment to the electorate that if I was elected, I'd retire from my teaching post and that I would undertake my councillor role on a full-time capacity. I've stuck by my word. I've done that for the past 5 years. And I have to say, it's been a privilege for me to represent the people from across the peninsula of Inishowen. I look forward to being the same candidate and elected person if the people decide for the Carndonagh electorate area. I'm fully dedicated to serving and highlighting issues that present in the Inishowen area. In my first year as councillor, the one issue that hit me that required attention was the Muscovite mica block. The hundreds of householders and families who were affected, and that led to me to having my first motion in Donegal County Council asking for a full redress programme for the affected householders, asking for full consultation with Donegal County Council with their affected tenants, and asking for full support with the MICA Action Group from Donegal County Council.
We just want to give everyone an equal amount of time. I'm sure that's an issue that's going to come up and others as well, which you can highlight your achievements or otherwise in that regard. Councillor Bernard McGuinness of Fine Gael, good morning to you.
Good morning, all the panel here, and good morning to the listeners in North Inishowen. I'm delighted to be here. I've been very proud to represent Inishowen over the last number of years, quite a number, in fact 40 years, and I've continued to work for you and ensure further development of the local service and amenities. I have a great knowledge of and experience of the issues affecting our community. I've acquired that down through the years. And like currently, the mica is the most important issue affecting Donegal. And I'm delighted to be able to announce today that it's before Cabinet this evening, and I hope that the redress scheme will be announced as soon as that Cabinet meeting is over, and that people will, after 7 years of long waiting, get redress for their houses. They have the, and also the MICA Action Group for their extraordinary work in keeping this in front of us. In the canvas, it was heartbreaking to see the houses and the effect that it had on families. And I'm very, you know, as a government councillor, I was very embarrassed in some cases that this has taken so long.
Okay, and we're going to be coming back to that, but that's how you chose to use your minute. We will speak now to Mary Rose Doherty of Aintu. Good morning to you, Mary Rose.
Good morning, Greg. I represent the people of Inishowen, the 52% of the people of Inishowen who voted no in the abortion referendum. They feel that the leaders of Fine Gael and Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, Labour and Sinn Féin no longer respect their values, and that they feel that they didn't have a voice, so they wanted people to stand for Aintu so that their voice would be heard, and that many of our values are being attacked, our freedom of speech, freedom of conscience. They're running like a juggernaut through the family structures. And they're also changing of words. Soon we'll not be able to say mother or father or husband or wife. They're changing all these things, and people are terribly, you know, there's a disconnect now between our councillors and the people out there. This is what we heard in the door, their lack of communications. So we will be representing these people if elected. So I'm here to speak for their voice.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Councillor Martin Farron of Labour, good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning, Greg. Good morning, the panel, and also to the listeners this morning. I've been honoured to represent the people of Inishowen for the last 10 years, and obviously I'm asking them to allow me to represent them again for a further 5 years. In that 10 years, I feel I've worked very hard. I've tried to do my very best for the people that I represent. I'm very passionate about Inishowen. I'm very passionate about the people that live there and the tourism potential that it's actually got. And when you're a public representative, you'll be dealing with so many, many issues. There's roads issues, housing issues, planning issues. You know, there's so many things coming to you. And it's important that you take everybody's concerns on board. And that's something that I learned very, very quickly when I was elected in 2009. If I'm lucky enough and honoured enough to be selected again after the 24th of May, I can assure you that I will work tirelessly on behalf of the people of North Inishowen and do my utmost for them over that next 5 years. It's been alluded to there about the mica situation, and I will work extremely hard to ensure that I can do as much as I possibly can.
Okay.
We as nine councillors have always, over the last 5 years, worked tirelessly in relation to this mica situation, and delighted to hear Councillor McGuinness saying here today that there'll be a decision later on today, and hope it's a very favourable one. Thank you.
We'll come back to that, of course, as well. Now, Councillor Martin McDermott, Fianna Fáil, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. Look, I'm delighted that to have the opportunity again to run for North Inishowen. The last term was my first term in the council. I feel that I have delivered on a lot of the things that was not happening in Inishowen at that particular moment in time. Tourism is one of the big issues that we have to build on. The Mallon Head, the toilet block has been done. The visitor management plan is in place, which is a very vital and important part of how Inishowen is going to go forward. We had to fight and push to get a second ambulance crew to Inishowen, which was very, very important to all the people in the doors. And as Councillor McGuinness, Councillor Doherty, Councillor Farron has alluded to, the mic issue is the one major relevant issue that is in the doors, and I just acknowledge the mic action group. But also to the people out there and the small things, the everyday things that we have to do on a daily basis, they are the important things that happens to a lot of people, the wee small jobs that has to be done. And also I want to acknowledge my own family, my wife Sheila, my two daughters, who have to put up with the most over the last 5 years in terms of me being away and out and about as much as either away every night and every day. So I just feel that I have a lot to give in the next 5 years for the people of North Inishowen. There's a lot of things that needs to be finished, and I would like the opportunity to do that.
Maria Duffy, also Fianna Fáil, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. My name is Maria Duffy. I'm from Ballaharry, Lakeima area. I come from a family of nine. I am a full-time carer for my sister Claire, special needs, she's Down syndrome. I also have a part-time job. I'm very much involved in the local community. I'm on the Carramina Football Club committee. I go to 10 meetings, and I also run the lotto every week for them. I was the secretary for the Inishowen Agricultural Show in Carndonna, and I'm very much involved in the Bochan Drama Group. So I'm delighted to be asked by the party as a new candidate to run this year for North Inishowen. Some of the key issues I'll be looking at is a new build for Mavill Community College. They're still teaching prefabs at the minute. Also need to look at the sewage system for Mavill Greencastle. You know, this has to be looked at and pushed forward. Again, Mica and with, you know, all the councillors, we'll all work together to make sure that this is pushed forward also. And mobile coverage and broadband, you know, around my area, especially Ballaharry, Carramina, Three Glens, you know, we're losing coverage, and all along the Foyle as well. They're picking up Northern Ireland signal. Some of my friends that I know have two mobiles to, you know, because they've got one for the north and one okay. for home. So, if elected me, I'll do my best to deliver for the local community.
Okay, and last but not least, Tracy Cullen, Independent. Good morning, Tracy.
Hello, good morning, Greg. Thank you very much for the opportunity to be in the programme. And it's nice just to see all the other candidates together as well. So I'd just like to say, at this table, I'm the only independent candidate running for election in North Donegal. I'm not aligned to any party whatsoever, but I would be endorsed. There's 10 of us running in Donegal in general, and we would be endorsed by Thomas Pringle and also by Ming Flanagan. And I have to say that I'm really honoured and delighted to be part of that and to be part of the Independence for Change. I think there's definitely space for a voice for, like, a new voice for change and for diversity, and kind of maybe bring a bit of vibrancy and maybe complement the work that has been done by other parties in the past. I am a working mother. I also teach in the Northwest Regional College. I lecture in media. And also, as everyone knows at this stage, I'm sure they've heard it on the doors, there's only out of 37 councillors, there are only three women. It's like refreshing to see three women around this table already. We're starting to take over, hopefully. I obviously will work. I'm also involved in the community in Ishka matters, environmental committees and various different things. I've been into politics my whole life. I studied at college. I worked in Amnesty when I was 25, Friends of the Earth, Greenpeace and different organisations like that. So I'm on the executive at work as well in the union. So I suppose politics is just part of my DNA. Okay. And I work in the local issues also, similar to what Marie Duffy just said beside me with Micah. MCC, environmental issues.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much indeed. We're going to be breaking for the news headlines at 11 o'clock very shortly, and then we'll start in earnest then. But Mary-Rose Doherty, in your pitch, it was very much focused on the outcome of the referendum, and we can't rehearse that or rehash it now, but I mean, are you a single issue candidate?
No, we're definitely not a single issue candidate. We are looking at Inishowen. We're very proud to be come from Inishowen, and we feel that there's not enough investment brought there. We have businesses, small businesses, who are having difficulty to survive, and some of them going out of business, and like the Moval school there too. We were down at it there. It's only recent built and it's practically falling down. There's cracks all through the ceilings and the floors. So we are looking, and we're very concerned with the time scale that the council takes to do all of these things. And they tell them that this is happening now, but it takes such a long period of time. So we're definitely not an issue. We want to see more investment. And yes, we are very interested in tourism and North Inishowen as well. The micro issue has come up.
I'm actually going to save that after 11, because I have a feeling we'll be doing just quite a bit on that. Correct, Tracy, she's not the only independent candidate in North Inishowen. Arthur McGuinness is also an independent candidate, but you actually did say around this table. So in fairness, it's a good ear the listener had, but just didn't quite get it. In fairness, you had your hand up there, Councillor Farrell.
Yeah, I'd just like to come in on what Mary's saying there, and it's been alluded to there a few times around the table here today in relation to Moval Community College. I can see where the students and everybody's coming from. I just want to say that way back and before the last government stepped down, I got a telephone call from the Minister of Education at that time, Jan O'Sullivan, to say that $10 million has been allocated for that school, and I worked extremely hard to get that $10 million there. But what I can confirm,
has it been spent?
Let me finish, please. I'll answer the question. What I can confirm
is going to be a long hour if I can't ask a question. But carry on, yeah.
Well, you invited me along here, so you know, I like manners just to answer the question.
Do you want the full hour, or?
Well, if you wish me to stop now, Greg, I'll
no,
stop.
No, carry on. But I do.
What I'm basically saying is that $10 million has been ring fenced, and I am now requesting the department to move on as quickly as possible to ensure that the school is finished by 2021. My understanding is that they're putting a new architect in place there to ensure that this moves on as quickly as possible. And I have been working on this, and it has been very frustrating for the parents, very frustrating for the students, and it's extremely important that this school is completed in 2021. And I will ensure to do my very best that machinery will be on site in early 2019, okay, because we'll take 14 months to complete that school.
Right, we were talking about Moville School there just before the news. I think, Albert Doherty, you wanted to come in on that as well, didn't you?
Very much so. Yesterday, I spent an entire day attending meetings of the ETB in the morning, the last meeting of the life of this ETB and later on schools in Buncrana. At the ETB meeting, we received a letter from the staff rep of Moville, highlighting their frustration at the lack of progress, highlighting the unacceptable conditions of the prefab, but most importantly, I felt, highlighting the health and safety aspects that now present for staff, parents, pupils alike. And I asked that our chief executive visit on Friday, and she has agreed to do so, but also that in our county, in the Peninsula of Inishowen, the Three Schools Project, and now this Moville Community College, which only moved from stage A to stage 2B. I was hoping it would soon be going to tender stage. With, as Martin says, with the new replacement consultant architects, yesterday we were given a deadline of the 1st of May for this report to go back. Well, that's the day that we all want to be back again, pressing the department for a response to what goes back. But when we have a health and safety issue, to me, it's minister, get the finger out.
In relation to that, Bernard McGuinness, with you being a government councillor and, of course, with the education minister being, though he doesn't have necessarily direct control in some areas of this, with him being from the county as well, are you able to give people any reassurances? I mean, obviously, we talked about the mess that is the three-school campus and now this matter very high on the agenda as well. It doesn't look good.
Well, it's something that Joe has inherited. Both of those, Jim McHugh, the minister, has inherited the three school campuses in Buncrana and Moville. Now, I've made representations to him about these. He has visited Moville School, and I'm confident that he will do everything in his power to deliver.
When do you think work might start?
I don't know, and I'm being honest about that. I haven't been able to find that out, but I do know that Joe has given great attention to all the projects in this county, and I've no doubt that this will be his number one, being the Minister for Education currently, and I would hope that Moville, and I understand there's a new site identified in Buncrana. Joe told me it looks very, very good. He's happy. It appeared to me that they're happy with it.
This is separate completely to the original site?
Yes.
It doesn't form any parcel of that?
No, as far as I understand.
Okay.
And I think Joe will, as I said, he delivers, and he will deliver.
Marie Duffy?
Yeah, I just want to come in and say I also recently visited Moville Community College and got to see the conditions that the staff are working in. The prefabs are there since 2001 and they're still being used. Remember, they were only a stepping stone when the build was being put in place, and to see staff are still teaching and students are still teaching, you know, being there in it. And as Albert said, like, you know, health and safety, we need to move this project forward, like, you know, and I intend to use my voice if elected to, you know, to make more noise on this issue. And to
do you think there's not been enough focus on it heretofore?
Well, I think if we're still here at this stage, we need more focus. Like, if we're still at the stage, we need to all get together and push forward, like, you know, for the students and for the staff, and move forward on it.
Okay, anyone else want to come in on that?
Yes,
sorry, yeah, go ahead. Mary Rose.
It's not just the prefabs that have problems down there. There's the new building there, as I think it was opened in 2001, and I'm telling you, it's practically falling down. Mm. There's cracks all. We were down visiting, and the cracks all along the floor and up that you can see between the blocks and to another room. So,
would you be happy your child going there?
Definitely not.
Okay.
And there's steep stairs walking up to it. It is very, very, it needs to be dealt with. And I don't think there's enough noise. I feel that we're too silent here and we're not getting our voice here down in Dublin. We need to make a noise and get these things done. They're taking forever, and we need to stand up and speak loud here in Inishowen.
I'll bring Martin back in, but Tracy Cullen, Independent, you wanted to come in there?
Well, all I just wanted to say was I did visit the school as well, and also I had my daughter there for open night as well. And I just thought it was really sad that it's not reflective of Moville itself and the school itself. And I think the potential that school has to offer, it has to have the best vista in the entire of any school, and probably in Europe wide, I imagine it would be good content. And I just think there were definitely health and safety issues there, even on a practical level, with even older people trying to navigate from A to B, and the steps and the lack of lighting. And I just thought it's not reflective of the work that is done by the tutors and by the pupils.
Okay.
So it's just, I agree with what everyone else. I don't really have much else to add apart from on the positive, I think the potential is amazing, and I suppose if the hard work continues, I'd like to see it come to fruition.
When it starts to, right. Martin McDermott?
Yeah, I suppose it's something that has come up quite regularly at our ETB meetings over the last number of years with Councillor Doherty, Councillor Farn.
Has it been the subject of many motions in Donegal County Council?
Yeah, Councillor Farn has had a regular motion on that. But I think that both the ETB and the department themselves, you know, a lot of these projects, let it be the three-school campus or now let it be Mavill Community College, whatever it may be, they need to get a bit more collaborative and start working a bit closer together and getting these projects pushed on, because the ETB and the department are the nucleus of this, and they're the ones that has to do the work, and they're the ones that has to push this forward. And I feel that needs to happen, and I think it's not happening with a number of projects. And I think that that's the big move that needs to happen, and the push needs to be put on both the ETB and the department to push these projects further, okay, quicker.
Councillor Martin Farron, just finally on this issue.
Thank you, Greg, again for letting me in. I'm delighted this was the first issue up here today, because Mavill Community School is very warm, close to my heart. And with that 10 million, as I said, that has been allocated, and I did say ring fence, it's still there. I was also involved in helping them secure another 3.5 acres of land there as well. So it's going to be a 5,000 square metre site, okay, when it's finished. I've been told, unfortunately, I couldn't attend the ETB meeting yesterday because we had a sort of a death in our family, and I had to travel down to Roscommon. But I did speak to a person in charge of the building programme, and he's assured me that when they get the new architect in place, the tweaks that need to be carried out in relation to the building itself will be done over a period of a few weeks.
Okay. So
and he would be very confident, very, very confident that this will be going to the planning stage within a few weeks.
Okay.
But what we have to, sorry again, but what we have to get, the point we have to get across here, the people that are actually suffering out there are the students, the uh-huh, parents. It's a beautiful community school. It will be an excellent school. And I can assure you from my own perspective, as I say, it's very close to my heart. Okay. And I want diggers on site in early 2019 for that school to be completed by 2021. And that's something that I intend to push on very, very strongly.
Marie,
thank
Duffy,
you.
Yeah,
just
very lastly.
Yeah,
please.
I just wanted to put in there as well. You know, I know we're talking about all the issues as well. And despite all these issues, I just want to say the quality of education at the school is excellent.
Yeah.
Both my sisters have attended there, and Claire, that okay, I care for special needs. So I just wanted to make sure that we spoke that the quality of education is excellent. It's just the issues that we need.
Okay. Mika's and Micah's situation is going to come up very shortly. But firstly, in advance of a vote in both Letterkenny and Buncrana, any public that contacted us were very, very opposed to a liberalisation of gambling laws. And still now people are very vexed by this because the consequences potentially are yet to be felt of having greater access to gaming machines. In this instance, we'll go clockwise. It might be more simpler on this one, unless someone wants to interject, of course. Councillor Albert Doherty, of course, I mean, I think your party across the board was opposed to this decision, but I don't want to skip you either. People are still very, very upset about this, and they feel that that vote went against the will of the people.
My party was opposed to the introduction. And also there was an inheritance personally from the works of the late Councillor Philip Diggin and the activities and works of the late Councillor Eddie Fullerton that I was willing to take on board. Also, at the same time, there was and there still is the national issue to be discussed on the whole gambling ethos. And while this was still not being addressed, if in doubt, keep it out. And my vote accordingly was for not introducing this in the North Inishowen area.
Councillor Bernard McGuinness.
Yeah, I voted.
Did you vote in favour?
Yeah,
you?
I voted in
why?
Favour. Why? Because I think we have moved on. I think that these gambling arcades have been with us for quite a number of years. They're not an issue in the doorstep, certainly. It hasn't been an issue for me in the doorstep. But as well as that, I think it needs regulation. And this is the first step in towards regulation. And I also believe that there are a number of small businesses that have machines, one or two machines on their premises, including my own, so I'm not a hypocrite. They don't belong to me, but nevertheless, they're there for people's recreation or whatever you call it. And I believe it's
And how, what's the maximum jackpot on your machines?
I don't know. I haven't a clue what it is.
Do you know what the stake is? How much you put into the machines?
5 or 10 pence or whatever it is.
Okay, I'm not being smart. I'm just curious.
I'm not something. I don't even. They're there. I saw the revenue coming along and taking them out of shops and chip shops and things, you know. And I'm sure. I just feel that there is no chat at all about betting horses or anything else. You can now gamble on your phone.
So that you're saying those opposed to it is almost hypocritical then? Unless you talk about betting in a wider context.
Yeah, I think you can't isolate one particular section and leave the rest free.
What's your view on this, Mary Rose Doherty of Aintu?
Well, we're just writing that this may, bring many more gambling dens into our towns, like places like Bundoran. There's a lot more, and we wouldn't want to see that in Inishowen. So, yes, and people are concerned because it's causing difficulty with families who are spending money on gambling when it should be spent in the home. So, yes, we were concerned that the councillors went ahead and voted on this issue.
Councillor Martin Fan, I can't recall which way you voted.
I voted against.
Okay.
And I just couldn't force myself to vote for it, to be honest with you.
Why did you vote against it? Do you disagree with Councillor McGuinness?
I took soundings from a lot of local people and also from school principals who felt very strongly in relation to this matter. And the general feeling was that this would make it very, very difficult for a lot of families in terms of, putting food on the table, and that will eat very much into the income that's coming into their houses. I would have seen machines many, many years ago all around the whole peninsula, and I just felt that it's an addiction as well. You know, people do become addicted to them, and they're always trying to win this money back again, Greg, that they put into a machine. They're trying to want it back again instead of that. That doesn't happen. So I was, a lot of people actually would have came to me after I voted against it and basically congratulated me on doing so. And I would have, unlike Bernard, I would have found it on the doorsteps. Mm. People would have come to me and says to me, I'm delighted that you actually voted against that, because, and I think what people are concerned about now is that it's going to actually influx right around the whole of Inishowen.
Yeah. And, subject to licences being approved.
Subject to licences, and I don't think that will be a good thing.
Councillor Martin McDermott, what way did you vote?
I voted for.
Why?
Because, Greg, I think, and I'm glad we have this opportunity to speak on this, because I think it's regulate, is what we've done.
Can I ask a question? You weren't lobbied to vote in favour of them, were you? Were you contacted by anyone within the gaming industry?
We were all contacted by people.
You were?
We were all contacted. But going back to say it's regulation, right? And we have to, as councillors, we had an opportunity to regulate 30 years ago. 30 years, this has not been regulated. It's been on the black market in Inishowen for 30 years. There's businesses that are open 22, 23 hours per day. Those businesses now will have to go to court, will have to go in front of a judge, will have to get their licence renewed every year by a judge. They will be determined.
But the judge will take the guidance from the local authority, of course.
The judge will take the guidance from himself. The judge will determine the hours that the business is open. Mm. They will determine what stakes they put on. They will determine the age group that goes in the door. None of those regulations are in place at the minute. The revenue will also be putting a mark on each individual.
So you think this will reduce problem gambling?
Absolutely. Sure. At the minute, I could open a gambling arcade anywhere I wanted and nobody would know that it's going to happen. Now I'm going to have to put it in the paper. I'm going to have to go to a judge. The guards would be involved. And as a community, you would have the opportunity to say no.
Okay.
But up to now, that has not been the way it was. And I think that's the reasons, what was put in front of us, the reasons. And I looked very, very carefully at it, very, very carefully. And I thought that the right thing to do was to regulate.
Tracy Cullen?
I have to say that I would be 100% opposed to the legalisation of gambling and the regulation.
But Councillor McDermott says it'll actually reduce
of gambling.
It's a liberalisation.
It's not legalisation of gambling. It's regulating what's there. It's not legalisation.
Sorry, just for clarity, are you saying that the gaming machines in existence prior to that were fully law compliant?
They were fully law compliant to an extent, but there was no regulation. Yeah. And at the minute, the department or the government are taking down legislation as well, which is going to supersede all what has been done.
Okay, sorry, can't continue with your point, Tracy, please.
Okay, so I get your point. Sorry, they meant to say regulation instead of legalisation. No, I think it's completely detrimental. As a student, I worked in an arcade as a cashier, and I saw families coming in and just spending literally all their money and desperately trying to claim it back. I actually work with students and all different levels of society, and it is an issue all throughout society. And I've worked in places. I remember working in a restaurant, which is like a bar restaurant, and they had like gambling machines, arcade machines at the side, and it would be the same people in continuously out of control with like a various like addictive personalities. They just couldn't control it. I think it's detrimental to families. I think it's detrimental to health. I think it's detrimental to self-worth and self-esteem. I can see no positivity in this, and I think the money would be much better spent. I mean, whether it goes to law or not, it's just not a good thing. It's not a good premise to begin with. And I just don't support it in any way. And I think there should be other things put in place for family entertainment.
Marie Duffy? Kids.
Well, I wasn't involved when we were doing it.
If you were involved,
if I was, I probably personally would have voted no. You know, gambling and gaming can do a lot of damage to families. Like, you know, as Martin said, it can be addictive, you know. But now that it's here, I think what we need to look at is more tightly controlling it, putting controls and regulations in, so that we can oversee it and just make sure that it's you're watched and done.
Yeah, okay.
That's what we've done. We've regulated. We've regulated it, and it also gives. And if you read the Gaming Act, it does say.
Do you agree? I mean, your party is that was the most organised against it. I mean, are you agreeing or disagreeing, Councillor Doherty? I mean, because you're saying, and a few of contributors are saying that this is going to be very detrimental, that it's going to lead to this, that, and the other. But Councillor McDermott is dead certain that this is actually really good news and actually might take.
I'm not saying it's good news. What I'm saying is that what was put in front of us, what was put in front of me that day, I felt it was the right thing to do. I felt that it was tightening up
Councilor
the laws
Brian McGuinness.
In any show.
Greg, as it was, there's quite a number of people involved in the industry. We had quite a number of people working in it, living off the industry, and employees. We had for years and years, I think mostly around the border, these things are sedated. There wasn't a word about it until we talked about regulation. Now, I can't understand when we talk about regulation that people suddenly say, if you regulate it, it's making it worse. I can't understand that at all. Right, it doesn't make sense to me.
It's a decent argument, Councillor Doherty. How can regulating something make it worse?
Well, first of all, I don't like the term industry being attached to this. Secondly, regulating the time clock does not stop what was mentioned here by other candidates, the despair, hardship that's visited upon some homes when this matter is out of control. And in relation to the gambling and items mentioned by Councillor McGuinness, even yesterday in the national press, they were looking at ways and means where capping spend should be introduced, that we don't have people opening accounts and having an enormous amount of their capital directed towards gambling with no control by those who are promoting and providing the gambling and no control from the family home who perhaps are unaware that someone has put this money aside.
Councillor McDermott? Councillor Farrin, sorry, you were indicating there.
Yeah. Obviously, it was a decision that was made by the nine councillors, and of course, five voted for it and four against. There was an awful lot of discussion among ourselves in the council chamber in relation to this matter. And just five of us could not see the way forward that we could possibly support this. And we all had our own views on it. And, you know, that's what it's all about, it basically, at the end of the day. But I quite frankly think myself that when if the judge, for example, decides to allocate the licences and so on and so forth, I think it'll just really open it up to the whole peninsula, which in North Inishowen, for example, the majority of those machines were in Bridgend and Bontrana. But I think this is just going to bring all of these machines into North Inishowen. And look, I can see
why you're shaking your head, Councillor McDermott.
I can see where Martin's coming from here and talking about the regulations, so on and so forth. and it's going to be very interesting just to see.
But what is the evidence that it's ridiculous, though? I mean,
I'm just going to see how they're going to regulate this regulation.
But just to explain, explain to me how you believe that because they have to be licensed is like if someone puts forward a license application and it's a legitimate license application that ticks every box, why would a judge decline that license in Malinhead, for example?
For instance, if it's an arcade you're talking about, and there's a difference between arcades and smaller.
Yeah, but why would a judge not grant that license?
For instance, if there's an arcade going to be put into Malinhead, first thing it requires is planning permission.
Yeah, okay.
And secondly, it has to comply with all the regulations. It's just not a willy-nilly thing that you can set up in the morning. It has to be regulated, and if the government is bringing in regulations to control gambling. Now, I can stand outside the door here, and on my mobile phone, I can gamble all the money I have. Mm. Nobody says a word.
Well, you have a chance of winning that. whereas, there's no skill involved in these machines. Why did Councillor McDermott say he was going to abstain on the vote and then voted in favour of the motion? Is that true? No?
What do you mean?
Someone says that you said you were going to abstain on the vote but then voted in favour. Is that untrue?
We had no discussion on that.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. You got a chance to correct that. Right, Tracy Cullen.
I just wanted to say also that in terms of the machines and arcades and things like that, they're very often located along coastal areas as well. So I think I would like Donegal not to be renowned for like a community that gambles, but to be renowned for healthy tourism instead, where we celebrate our landscapes.
Mary Rose, you indicated there as well.
Yes. Was there any discussion among the people who are affected by this gambling? I think that was not happening.
Did any gambling groups address? Because you did have the Gaming Association make an extensive presentation to the council. Yeah. Was anyone from any organisations that deal with families in crisis due to gambling invited? Or
that was one of the things that I did say that day. I think that there should have been more engagement from the community in that.
What's your reaction to that then, knowing that didn't happen, Mary Rose?
Well, people are very concerned about that they go ahead and not representing the people that they are supposed to represent.
That's not true.
So, the people were not contacted on this issue, and they were very, very concerned about that.
There's a public notice put in the local press.
Well, people don't always look at notices in public presses.
From my perspective, Mary, I just want to say this. I would have taken soundings and from the local community before I made my decision. I think it's very fair to say when you're in the position of a public representative, you have to take on board the concerns of the local people. And this is what we've always tried to do. As I said in my outset, when you're dealing with issues, you're dealing with roads issues, housing issues, water issues, planning issues. This is something that will come up in front of you, and you have to take soundings. And I, from my own perspective, I'm sure other councillors who were sitting around that table were taking people's concerns on board. But it was a decision that was made on the day, and it was entirely up to the individual. And in my case, I decided to vote it against it because I felt it would not be good for the people.
Albert Doherty, yeah, briefly.
I just want to say that we did have, Mary, 80 to 90 submissions, and I read each and every one of them. But in relation to your question, Greg, I do believe one of the submissions was from White Oaks, where they would have experience of having to deal with this nature.
Tracy, Colin?
No, I think I was just going to follow on to the point about talking to the community and getting feedback from people actually involved.
And did you want to come back finally on that, Councillor McDermott?
No, I think that certainly there probably should have been more, community involvement, and I did say that at council. I think there should have been more an opportunity for the community to engage better. And I think that these types of things, whatever they come up, they're put in front of us and we have to make a decision. But I think
can I ask one question? It's not a loaded question. Do you feel, and it's anecdotal, do you feel that councillors on that day, not you, all councillors, do you think they voted in, and you're an experienced politician, do you think they voted in line with public opinion? Hand on your heart.
Well, if you looked at the 88 submissions,
how many of those were very similar?
72 of them were for.
How many of them were very, very similar?
Well, honestly,
anybody let's call it spade a spade. How many?
A lot of them
were pretty much clones of the other?
Right, but the point.
Okay, so let's have a.
But at the same time, Greg. At the same time, that's you have to take a submission as a submission.
Okay, I take that. It's not your fault either. I'm not implying it's your fault.
Pardon?
Yes.
We were voting for regulation.
Okay.
Now, how can anybody turn around and say that you should have something going on without regulation, and it's better to have...
Mary Rose, I may have cut you off when you were making your first point.
We've been hearing around the doors now, when I was going around canvassing, that there's an absolute disconnect between our councillors and the people that they represent. And they feel that nobody gives a damn about their issues. So we need better communication between our councillors and Donegal County Council, because we were at a flooding, a meeting on flooding, and the councillors were almost telling the people, yeah, you campaign away and you raise your voice, but they have a role to play in all of this, and they need to take the concerns of the people. No disrespect to the councillors, but they need to listen to the people.
We have to move on other issues. Thank you very much for that, Mary Rose. Did you want to come in on that, Marie? I don't think you indicated, but I know you haven't spoken on this one just for quite some time,
because,
just to be fair.
Obviously I would have personally voted no on it, but I think that we're here now and a decision has been made. So what I would like to do is move forward and see what we can do for the community, for both, the gambling and issues and addictive issues, and see what we can do to for the community in the area.
Tracy Cullen.
I just wanted to end with
very
the fact
briefly
that,
on this.
Okay, just the Department of Health has issued that there's in the region of 30,000 people with gambling, affected with gambling problems, age 15 and older, and Ireland has the highest, third highest gambling losses in the world.
And one last word from Councillor Councillor Farron first, and then we'll get one last word on this.
Before we made the decision, did we take people's concerns on board? From my own perspective, and I can only speak for myself, I certainly took people's concerns on board.
And that formed your opinion, that's what you're saying.
Exactly.
Okay, Councillor McDermott, finally.
Yeah, but I just feel that it's not fair to say that councillors don't take people's points on board and we're not listening to what people are saying. Well, I, for one, certainly deal with my constituents.
But let me ask the question again. Do you believe that the vote that the councillors took on that day was in line, in your opinion, with what the majority of people of Inishowen would have wanted?
Well, what we at that day, yes, that's what we thought. And if you take the submissions, as I say, I'll go back to the point that Mary already has alluded to, and I would agree with Mary. From a council perspective and from an organisation perspective, there probably should have been more consultation with the general public. And I would agree with that.
But they feel this is the thing with so many issues. It's not just this issue. Yeah. That there's this disconnect between the people and the council. And they're fed up.
So how do you bridge that?
To have better communications. I know that the councillors have a very heavy caseload, but and they're saying they have many emails and all the rest, but we need to have some way that they can connect with the people, that they make sure
the meetings are in public, surely, and they have meetings in public, and they have clinics.
Very disingenuous of Mary to say that. I certainly am in connection with the people and have been down through the years and represented.
I can see what Mary's saying about the disconnect between the council and the general public and the councillors, but to be fair, I think a lot of that has to do with the privatisation of separate industries, like the water. Because it removes council from the actual people, because it's a closed unit which you have no access to.
There was one vote that was very close to the community, though. It's not always that.
Not always, but I'm just saying
it's certainly just what Mary's saying there. I find it very difficult to accept that. I would be very, very close and listen to the grassroots in my community. I always have done since I got elected. And I find that hurt. I feel hurt by that statement because I would be a very hard working councillor. I work in my area and I take people's concerns on board, and I can tell you that it's not just 9 to 5, it's a 7-day job, and it's my job as a public representative to take people's concerns on board, and I've done that, Mary.
We'll be talking about the potential for an announcement on a redress scheme, what is likely to happen and not, after we take this quick break.
The best of music on your station.
Okay, you're very welcome back to the programme. We're just going to go around the table with pretty much yes and no's, if that's okay, on one question. Would councillors, because I think, Marie, you've sort of mentioned a couple of times that it's done and we should move on and see, other aspects. People actually want to know, would anyone actually be seeking to reverse the gambling vote in the new council? So I'll go clockwise. It's pretty much a yes and no, because all your views are on the record now at this stage. Albert Doherty, would you... be in favour of a campaign to reverse that vote on a new council?
Without national legislation, yes.
Bernard McGuinness of Fine Gael, would you?
No.
Okay. Mary Rose Doherty, Aintu, would you be inclined to campaign to reverse that vote?
Yes.
Martin Farron, Labour, yeah. What about you?
Yeah, as Albert's after sitting, yes. Yes, I would.
Councillor Martin McDermott, what say you?
I think that if there was an opportunity to relook at it again, we would have to do that, yes.
But would you change your vote?
That's according to what would come up in that review.
Okay.
You would have to relook at it. You'd have to give people their opinion. You'd have to give the community their opinion, because I don't think the community got an opinion in the last time.
Okay, Marie Duffy?
Yes, same as Martin. I probably would like, yes, but gather more facts and get together, you know, make sure we have the community and everybody's voice.
Well, I did try many a time to have debates on this.
Yes.
And no one would come on and talk about it on the show.
Right.
You know, so
yeah. Well, maybe
everyone would have to change their attitudes in terms of engagement, because you couldn't get hardly anyone on to speak about it.
Well, maybe
particularly
about
those who were inclined to vote in favour of it.
Well, probably because it's come up today, maybe we can.
Tracy Collins, finally.
Yes, I think it's detrimental on many levels, and having seen what it does to young people and families in particular, I just couldn't support it. So yes, I would try and...
Right, the Meeker Address Scheme, of course, Bernard McGuinness as a government councillor would have sources which we hope we can rely on. It's finally going to be brought before Cabinet. If it's signed off on, Councillor McGuinness, how much detail are we going to get? Will we just get a wishy-washy, yes, it's in the pipeline, no detail, no word of perhaps any contribution from homeowners? Like, in other words, are we going to save the worst news to after the council election? What do you expect to be confirmed at Cabinet today?
I expect confirmed to Cabinet today it'd be a 90-10 breakdown, 10%.
Is that acceptable to you?
It is, and it's also acceptable to the Micro Action Group.
The Micro Action Group are accepting a 10% homeowner contribution?
Yes, they are, and I've spoken to them very often. I've kept in touch with them all through this negotiations, and that's what has turned out. The first thing the Department of Finance came up with was that it would be means tested, which we rejected entirely, and then they came up with a 20%. Again, we rejected that. This was before Cabinet two or three times, it was withdrawn on at least three or four occasions by Minister McHugh. And then we had a situation where it was 14%, and eventually down to 12.5%. And again, we rejected that. And that's one of the reasons this has been delayed so long.
Can I just ask you before we bring other people in here,
understand.
Is it acceptable to you that homeowners have to contribute 10%? And I'll tell you right now, I could list 12 names of people that don't have two shillings to contribute.
Yeah,
do you think it's acceptable when you have the Pyrite Redress Scheme and that was a 100% funded by the government, the state, the taxpayer?
I have great reservations about that. But quite frankly, we talked...
You've lost a colleague because Mickey Doherty says if it's above 5%, he's quitting Fine Gael.
Well, Mickey Doherty's currently a candidate in Fine Gael.
But he says if it's above 5%, he's quitting.
That's not the case now, because the Mike Action Group are the people who are guiding me,
okay,
and Mickey as well.
Right.
Now, if you're in a negotiating situation, surely you start low, and that's what we did.
Okay.
First of all, the Act declared that there had to be a contribution. And that's where the question arose, as against the pyrite. But people have, you know, it's a detail. There's a number of other issues that are very important.
Okay, well, and we'll get everyone's opinion on it and then come back to that, because we're going to give this plenty of time.
Can I finish?
Of course.
Donegal County Council are administering the scheme. One of the things that I was very, very, very afraid of was there'd be a MICA board set up of people from outside the area completely who didn't understand.
Mm.
And I'm very confident that those people who have difficulty in raising the 10% will be accommodated.
Marie Duffy, Fianna Fáil.
Yeah, so on my campaign, going around, like, you know, I see, you know, I've met with families and see how sad and frustrated they are. You know, they're in homes where they're crumbling and they can't afford to fix them. So I would be pushing for 100%. And we want 100% up here in Donegal. So I think that we, you know, delays are not acceptable, and we should be pushing for 100% for the families.
If the Meeker Action Group accept 10%, though, I mean, would you go along with their wisdom in that regard? Or do you still think your party should be pushing for a 100%?
I think we should be pushing for 100%.
Martin Farron, Councillor Martin Farron of Labour.
Again, just listened to Bernard speaking there, and I hope the announcement is made today. And I think the reason why, I'm only just suggesting, the reason why they can't go for 100% is that they'd have to set up new legislation, which would take approximately 2 years, so we'd put the project back. That's what I'm led to believe.
People don't understand that.
Obviously, I would like to see it maybe as close as to 100% as possible, 95%. But one thing I want to say there, that if the householder has to pay 10%, I think a financial institution needs to be set up there where they can draw down on funding at 0% interest. The other thing I would like to point out there as well, when we're speaking about it, Greg, is we're talking about the people that have actually carried no work out to their houses there at the moment. I'm led to believe, and I would like clarification on this, people that have actually carried work out at their houses, I think they have to be refunded as well.
But they could be outside this scheme.
Well, this is something which needs to be clarified.
Is that outside the scheme completely, or outside the scheme in terms of the money they've already spent?
Well, and the money that they have already spent, I think they should be able to recoup that money.
That's, or at least it'd be used towards 90%. Would that not 90, make sense?
90% of the money that they've already spent, because, look, let's be perfectly frank about this, and we've spoken about this now for 7 years. The most important thing to any family, and we're all there. I had a 20-year mortgage on a house and three young kids, and at least I have a house. I've been to houses where, I hate to say this, but a lot of those houses, it's just basically a bulldozer job. They just have to knock them down, and it's going to cost a considerable amount of money to rebuild them. These people,
which puts a greater pressure on the homeowner, because if you have to rebuild a house for 250,000, where are they going to get 25 grand?
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
I mean, there've got to be issues with them paying the mortgages and whatnot.
That's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay.
And those things have to be taken into consideration. But we do have to remember the people that have actually carried work out. I know people that have spent up to 15,000 addressing this problem. Those people have to be compensated.
Councillor Martin McDermott.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. Look, we have to acknowledge, and we have to be, you know, happy that we're going to get an announcement today. Let it be 10%, 90-10. There's been a lot of work over the last 5, 6, 7 years put in by every government department and every councillor and every TD in Donegal on this, because it's a one single big major issue.
Why is it acceptable, though, that there should be a 10% contribution up here, but people with a similar issue in Dublin got away with 100%? How is that acceptable?
If you let me finish. I'm not saying that it's acceptable, but I'm saying we have to take what's on the table today, because, I mean, there's been lots of discussions with the Make Action Group. There's been lots of discussions going on behind the scenes over the last, especially 4 or 5 months. And, you know, there's a lot of other elements there that, as Martin Farn alluded to, that if this goes back to the department and it's not accepted, that it could be 2 years before something comes up. People can't afford to wait. There's people living in their homes today that are falling down around their ankles. People beside me, my own house, I have it. Everyone that I went out to, if you go to Malinhead, go to Urris, there is hundreds of houses crumbling. Mm. There is people with mental health issues. There is children with mental health issues. There are family with mental health issues because of this. And now, let me finish. And it is really, really very hard-hitting when you go to people's houses and see the kind of states that people are living in. And we have to get this moving on. We have to get this process moving, and we have to deal with it. And to be fair to the Mike Action Group, I do feel that only they stuck by this to date. Only they stuck by it when people were going against them and everything else. They stuck by it,
Mary,
to make sure that this would be delivered.
Mary Rose Doherty.
And I think it's very, very important, Greg. It's very, very important that when this is delivered, and if the government announces it today, that there are some provisions for, let it be the credit union, let it be the banks, or whatever organisation that's going to help these people out to put up that 10%.
Mary Rose Doherty.
I don't think anybody should have to pay any money for this. Who is there not something that the planning authorities can do and look at to see the material that is used on these buildings before this happens? It's the same with the college, Moville College. It's falling down. It's only built in 2001. What can there not be better procedures put in place to see that the building materials of these places are suitable for the build, instead of making people pay
before we bring 13. People back in? I just want to give everyone an opportunity just to react so far. Tracy Cullen, Independent.
I think, everybody around the table appreciates the fact that it's not the fault of the homeowner, and the ideal situation would that they would get 100%, that they wouldn't have to, you know, commit any money towards this at all. But when I was speaking to the Mica Action Group, I think the sentiment was,
I suppose they're really the only people who have the integrity in this issue because they are living in that world. So it's hard for me. I don't walk a day in their shoes. So therefore, I suppose what I did pick up from them, though, is that once they've decided, as Martin was saying, that legislation will have to be introduced. So therefore, I suppose the balance is up to them, whatever percentage they're offered. Whilst it's not an ideal solution, I suppose we have to respect whatever integrity they have and whatever they go
with. They know best
what
you're
saying, really. I do think what they did state to me, which is really, really important, that it is absolutely pivotal that whoever happens to be in council must like really sit on this issue and make sure that the process must be transparent. They need to publish the process of application immediately. They need to have all the resources and like layers in place. They have 45 engineers who are now up and ready to test and recruiting more, as I understand, as we speak. And I think the main issue really for council is not necessarily whether it's accepted or not accepted, but whenever this deal is accepted, that it is pushed through. Mica families have waited long enough, and they just need to make sure that it's an efficient process and also something set up for the additional funding if it's needed.
Councillor Arbuthnot-Doherty, I mean, you called the fact that, I think it's recently yesterday, that this must be a 100% scheme, but we knew it was never going to be a 100% scheme, if the truth be told. Your reaction to confirmation from Bernard McGuinness that this will go before Cabinet today, it'll be a 90-10 split, and it should be signed off on.
I'm very disappointed on a 90-10 split. 5 years ago, my original motion supported all the time, and this is what I liked. There was unanimity at all times at council level when we asked for full redress. Likewise, there was some information shared here today with Bernard that I would be hopeful that MAG would be conscious as well that full support and an open disclosure of the pluses and minuses is very important. Last night, I saw some of the hits on social media. One more sleep. One more sleep, I suppose. I simply think of Santa Claus and bearing gifts. Well, it's as if Santa Claus is going to come in the form of the government, but they're also going to take some of the toys back again. 10% of what for some houses? You've mentioned yourself numbers who haven't two brown pennies to rub together. 10% of what knocks many people down. And what do I expect? I'm over the moon. The council are going to be involved. I'm also directly happy they're involved because we have so many tenants in our homes and houses that we too are going to have a singular significant amount of funding to look after our tenants.
Can I ask a question? But why is it such good news if the council's involved? The council can't get 8 families back into houses in Burnford. They've been given the money a year ago. If they can't pull off getting 8 families back into houses that are already built, how can they be relied upon to deliver a scheme for at least 5,000 people?
Because I think of the delay and what you've heard there in relation to what's already in place and sitting. Good God, there's been so long waiting for this final announcement, and it was always about what was being put in place, who was being trained to deliver. So I'm putting trust in the council that they've learned from previous mistakes and that they are aware that this sensitive subject must be delivered and delivered efficiently.
Maria Duffy, I'll let you back in, but Maria hasn't spoken on this yet, I don't believe.
No, I'm still what I said at the start. Like, you know, I think that, as you said, the parents got 100%. I'm not sure why I think we should push for 100%. I think it's very unfair for the families. As you say, 10% could be up to 25,000, 50,000, and we're asking families to come up with that. So maybe I don't have all the details as a new candidate coming in, but
that's what
personally speaking, I'm 100%.
So if someone has for instance, it's very likely, Councillor McGuinness, someone has 100% mortgage, it's very likely that their credit rating is not in great shape because I probably would skip the odd payment here or there living in a house that was falling to bits. Where are they going to get anything from 10 to 40,000? And if they can't get that money together, does that exclude them from the scheme?
Well, 10% of this includes the cost, I think, and I need to get this in here, the cost of the survey of the house, the cost of the 10%, that's the all-in cost.
Is this a little bit like the labour, for instance, being included in the awarding of money to a community project? Is it?
No, I don't.
Is it like this will be looked on favourably? Like, is that what you're saying?
What I was very much afraid of was that we would have a board set up of people who didn't understand. Because very few people in Ireland understand what MAIC is. Very few people very small percentage of the people of Donegal know what mica is. It's only in North Inishowen and in Inishowen in general that we have houses falling down. Now, the council, first of all, have rehoused a couple of houses, to my knowledge, people out of them, and they will. And the worst case houses will be examined first and dealt with.
Now, so the worst houses will be prioritised, is that what you're saying?
I would say so. Of course they will.
Okay.
And the second thing about it, if the council is administering it, and that's back to us, and if somebody can't get 10%, then it's up to us as elected members. And that's one of the reasons I stayed on in the council. I want to see this thing through. I was the first councillor who met in a house below Carindona where mica was flagged up. I was the first councillor who brought in the first motion into Donegal County Council with it. And indeed, I have to say, the council officials themselves were reluctant to believe that council houses had mica for quite a while.
Okay.
So I have been fighting on this for a long, long time, and I think we have got a resolution now, and I think rather than trying to scaremonger anything, we should address it
positively. We can't accept things blindly, Councillor McGuinness, with all due respect. I mean, do we...
But 10%. Where are people going to get 10%? That's the thing. You know, where are we expecting people to get 20,000, 25,000? That's what I'm asking. You're going around to people that their houses are crumbling and falling apart, and you're going to ask them for 10%. This is what I don't understand. Like, where you're saying the councillors are going to, you know, come together and meet and discuss it, but where are we going to get the money to give each family or each house 25,000?
I'm quite sure we will be able to design a scheme. This is going to bring a new dimension into the council completely.
Where are they going to get? Where are we going to get money to give to them?
I'm telling you, if we have a proper design scheme, we will know exactly. Nobody expects somebody to put up 10%.
It's the individual or the council putting up the 10%.
It's 10%, 90%.
Yeah, but it's the 10% comes from the homeowner.
Up to us as elected members to find a way and means.
Okay, Councillor Farren, Martin Farren of Labour.
That's what I was stating at the beginning. A financial institution needs to be set up to make this very, very easy for the person that has to get this money.
Yeah.
I just want to say,
people don't understand.
This is so, so important, such a big issue and affecting so many families. And the thing that I would like to see happening now, if this decision is made today, Bernard, in Dublin today, we need a time frame on it. We don't want to be going back another year in terms of selling this. Donegal County Council are going to administer it. They need to move it very, very quickly because people have to know, they have got to know when this is actually going to start.
Martin McDermott indicated first there. I'll come to you in a second. Tracy.
Yeah, look,
just wrapping up on this.
I think that I suppose the devil, like everything, is going to be in the detail in this.
That's
And I think when we get the detail and see how this actually is going to work, you know, how people are going to get that 10% is going to be very, very important, and it's very, very important that we set up something, we get the financial institutions in place to do
that. Is there any precedent for this, that the council comes up with some sort of a scheme to pay the homeowner's contribution? I've never heard tell of anything like this before.
I wouldn't think so.
It
can be treated
under some grant or maybe some...
So where is that money going to come from? Exactly. So is that going to come from central government as well or from council resources?
I don't know.
Can I just finish?
Sorry, Martin. I beg your pardon. Carry on.
But as I was saying, the 10%, certainly there has to be some way of a financial institution, because there are people, there's no question, and I've been working very closely with the Mica Action Group over the last 4 or 5 years. There are people that are not able to pay their mortgages. There are people,
and don't represent as well,
that,
by the way.
Yeah, and there are people
quite a number.
But what I think that, you know, we will have to find ways. There's going to be people that's going to have to leave their own houses to go into accommodation while their own house is going to be fixed. That type of detail needs to happen expect people to pay rent and pay a mortgage and do all that as well. So there's a lot of work to be done after this announcement is made.
Tracy Collins,
it's important.
Has the responsibility of administering the scheme, then it is the council who will deal with these problems. And I don't think anybody should be preempting that.
But we have to, because we've been waiting for this for 7 years, so you'll excuse us having a little bit of a speculation.
But I have to say one thing. Tracy, the Mica Action Group has been with this all the time. I have been in close contact from day one for 7 years, and right up to last night.
Speaking to the MICA Action Group over the weekend, what I've discovered was as well that there seems to be no accountability, and I would like to see an investigation as to how this came about beyond council.
Like why are the taxpayer paying for this? Is that what you're saying?
No, what I'm saying is, no, I'm just saying whoever supplied the blocks.
That's what I mean,
yeah, the blocks itself. Like if it was in any other profession, if it was in my profession, there would certainly be a grey. I don't think I would be able to.
Do the council still employ the services of that company?
To my knowledge, yes.
Our company's no longer in existence. That's the problem we have.
I guess you're okay.
But do you know what I mean? It seems to be the elephant in the room that there must be some accountability.
It is indeed. And I want to give Mary Rose Doherty one last word on this as we wrap up, and then just that make sure everyone gets a fair
crack. Is this on the mic?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, yes, I think that there should be investigation into who's allowed this crisis to happen in the first place.
Listen, all of you, thank you so very much. We wish you the very best of luck. We also wish Arthur McGuinness, also an independent running in the election, who was unable to attend today. But Councillor Albert Doherty, Marie Duffy, Mary Rose Doherty, Councillor Martin Farron, Bernard McGuinness, Councillor Martin McDermott, Tracy Cullen, independent, all of you, thank you so very, very much.